photographer Margaret Jacobson, who likes to capture the heart, soul, and spirit of a person in her photographs. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre.
Do you worry that corporate power is totally out of control? Tune into the KBOO Evening News every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. beginning August 5th to hear the new weekly commentary by yours truly, Paul Cienfuegos. I'll be sharing stories about communities that are rising up against corporate control and passing laws that exercise their right to govern themselves. That's every Tuesday on the KBOO Evening News beginning August 5th. Don't miss it.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Hats for the Homeless donation drive. From now through December 15th, Fire on the Mountain on 57th and Northeast Fremont, Los Gorditos at 12th and Southeast Division, Mike's Drive-In in Selwood, the Cup and Saucer on Northeast Killingsworth, and the Old Salt Supper House on Northeast 42nd Avenue will collect clean, new, or gently used hats, scarves, and gloves, and the folks at Zippity News will distribute them to local shelters. Dropbox locations and more information can be found at kbo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, December 15th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Today's guest is Arun Kunani. He is, of course, well known to anybody pretty much who reads, the author of The Muslims Are Coming. It's a wonderful book. If you haven't read it, you owe it to yourself to get a hold of a copy. It's the full title, of course, is The Muslims Are Coming, Islamophobia, Extremism, and the Domestic War on Terror. One could easily take out the word the Muslims and put in the Christians. Because really, the paradigm is the same, no matter how you word it. Before we talk to Arun, we're going to have just a breeze through a couple of headlines here. Indigenous communities across North America and indeed across the world are warning of the corporate grab that took place in Paris. The false resolution, of course, is what I'm speaking of, a false resolution to climate change called reducing emissions from deforestation and degradation, or RED. Sounds good, but this is one case in which you really do need to read the fine print. It's a dead giveaway to corporate interests who are bent upon the privatization of all of the Earth's remaining natural resources. And speaking of which, one of Oregon's natural resources, its coastline, where we have on the land clear cutting, and at sea, of course, the Pacific Ocean is dying. Meanwhile, down in Coos Bay, in the Jordan Cove terminal facility, there is one of the most important hearings coming up, and you can get all of that at Citizens Against LNG. That's the website to go to, find out the main talking points and all the where and when. It's actually December 18th in Coquille, and we'll put that information on the website if possible, and certainly at the front desk, which is indeed possible. ExxonMobil has once again caught the crosshairs of an ongoing investigation by the New York Attorney General. Thereafter, Exxon exploring its role in studying the damage climate change could cause. This Exxon has a lot more, though, on its dirty record. The corporation has funded climate science denial campaigns and is leading the charge to buy academics. In other words, pay them to say whatever Exxon or the purchaser, whoever it is, Exxon or Shell or whoever, wants them to say. And we remember we were speaking with Harvey Wasserman of Solartopia. Well, again, Indian Point nuclear reactor is in the news. 10 protesters were arrested there on the weekend. Colleen Rowley is in the news. She has a great deal to say about the current situation with ISIS, Syria, and the U.S., and indeed the West's idea of what constitutes terrorism and what ISIS really is all about. The Oregon Senate is talking about our own civil war. Well, that's terrific, just like Syria. See what I mean? Connections everywhere. This has to do, though, with ballot measures and what the effect of those will be on upcoming elections, of course. President Barack Obama is struggling to make his case for caution in Syria, but that's not what people are demanding. They're demanding instantaneous crazed violence, just like what we have in good old USA. See what democracy looks like? I guess we successfully imported our notion of democracy to Syria. It's not funny, but if you don't laugh, you cry, right? And of course, Congress is debating and voting. Members of Congress will have to take a position on whether there should be a significant use of U.S. ground troops. And this being Congress, we can't expect it to get anywhere very fast. Net neutrality, once again, in the news. Be very careful, because the language has been changed. And there is a huge vote coming up very soon. So it's a good idea to get up to speed right now if you want to keep the internet as it is, as the internet, something that we all use equally. One of the last few things that we all share equally. So that said, I want to welcome Arun Kundanani to the KBOO airwaves. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I guess the question that we should be asking ourselves is, so when were these Christian terrorists radicalized? That's what I want to know. We've got plenty of them running amok across the United States, and we don't seem to be too concerned about Christian terrorism. We've got plenty to be concerned about there. But Muslim Americans, for the most part, with the notable exception of two people recently in San Bernardino who are not anything, whatever they are, whatever they might be, they're certainly not Muslim. The Muslim community, I believe, has been responsible for 40%, stopping 40% of potential attacks in the United States by working closely with local law enforcement. They've been responsible for 40% of the preventions. So I think we have very little to fear from the Muslim community in the United States, and a great deal to thank them for. But right now, the Islamophobia, what we are concerned about here and now is Islamophobia, and the fact that long before Trump came and his hair and his mouth came lumbering onto the stage, there was plenty of Islamophobia to go around, coming from the mouths of some of the other Republican candidates. Could you talk a little bit about some of the statements made by elected officials over the past decade or so?
Well, yes. And even if you just look at the last few weeks, most of the governors of the states across the U.S., issued statements over the last month saying that they would prevent any Syrian refugees from coming to that state at a time when, hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in Syria. So when you have a situation where the majority of governors are saying they will ban Syrians because of a largely unfounded fear of terrorism coming from the Middle East, then you've already set up the logic that enables Trump a little later to say, well, I'm going to ban Muslims, not just Syrians. And there's a kind of whiff of hypocrisy subsequently when the political mainstream of, you know, and the other Republican presidential candidates and officials denounce Trump as going too far. He's not an outlier, really. He reflects a logic that's already circulating in the mainstream. And of course, this is something that, as you say, is longstanding now. For over a decade, we've had a systematic campaign, really, to identify terrorism with Islam. And obviously, that had some kind of resonance with people after 9/11. What's interesting to me is that the real kind of upsurge of Islamophobia didn't really happen in the aftermath of 9/11 as a spontaneous reaction to that terrorist attack, but it really got going in 2010, and probably the most important factor that led to that happening at that time was the election of President Obama, which speaks to the way in which Islamophobia is about race. It became a way to establish a conspiracy theory that Obama was a secret Muslim. So, you know, and 40% of Republicans believe that Obama is a Muslim. This is the return of the old anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, but this time with Muslims instead of Jews. In the, you know, 100 years ago, you had someone like Henry Ford publishing in his newspaper, the Dearborn Independent, publishing conspiracy theories about Jews secretly controlling the world. Well, now we believe that Muslims are secretly controlling the world because President Obama is one, and because the Muslim Brotherhood have apparently infiltrated into every branch of the US government, which is the kind of conspiracy theory that Trump and other Republican candidates are kind of giving little nods of approval to.
Yeah, it would seem that way, but what's so puzzling and troubling is that people, a certain segment of the population, seems to constantly need something or someone to fear and hate. And sadly, people have decided that they're going to have fear and hate Muslims,
I think people are being lied to. I mean, you know, I think it's not that people have an inherent need to hate. I don't even think Islamophobia is ultimately about hatred and fear. I think it's an ideology, and it works by connecting with people's frustrations, their political, economic, and social frustrations.
So, yes, but why have they chosen to believe these particular lies? I mean, there's plenty of lies out there to choose from. And
this one is particularly compelling because of the situation in the Middle East. And so, you know, the idea that and because it's been well funded, you know, there's been millions of dollars from various kinds of think tanks that have systematically wanted to put this agenda out there, that, you know, that there is something inherent about Islam that turns people into terrorists. It's not as if this is the only lie that is being believed. People, you know, people believe all kinds of things as well, but this one happens to be particularly prominent at a time when we've seen, you know, the conflicts in the Middle East that involve Israel, that involve the United States, continue because of the ongoing foreign policy that we have. And as long as that foreign policy continues, as long as we continue to maintain an approach to the Middle East where we don't really want the people of the Middle East to be able to achieve self-determination of their own societies.
Arun, before we let you go, we've got only about a minute left. How would you propose to counter the lies that people have been told? If they will believe this, then seemingly they'd believe anything.
Well, I mean, I think firstly we haven't done a very good job on the left side of the political spectrum of actually just pointing to the factual information that kind of confounds this Islamophobia. So, for example, if you want to talk about terrorism in the United States, well, you would want to begin with the fact that more people have been killed since 9/11 in the United States by right-wing extremists than by Muslim extremists. If you want to talk about the problem of violence in the United States, you would want to start by talking about, more than 400,000 people killed in gun-related deaths.
That's 400,000 that you said. That's an incredible number.
That's the population of the entire country, right? Since 9/11. So, the amount of guns circulating in American society is so large now that when a terrorist wants to get hold of a powerful automatic weapon, they can buy one from their neighbor, right? Which is what we saw in San Bernardino. So, if we were serious about dealing with the question of violence, terrorism, we need to start with that issue, really.
And that's on that note. We finished for today. I want to thank you very much for joining us. My guest, of course, has been Arun Kuntnani, is the author of The Muslims of Coming, Islamophobia, Extremism, and the Domestic War on Terror. He's a lecturer at New York University and has written extensively on the topic. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, December 15, 2015. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. Well, attacks on Muslims, attacks, all kinds of things going on, fake hand grenades.